Let's take our Bibles this evening and turn to 2 Samuel chapter number 17. 2 Samuel chapter number 17. We've been dealing with the life of David on Wednesday evening and learning some of the character traits in David's life, the good, the bad, the ugly, what's helpful. We need to know what we ought to do, and we need to know what we ought not to do. And we find much in David's life that can help us. And here we're continuing in 2 Samuel chapter 17, and we're going to pick out some verses here and there. Again, we're studying the life of David. In this passage, I want us to consider, because Absalom at this point is recognized as the king of Israel. He is, because he's about to go fight his own father, David. And the Bible says that Israel fought with David and his servants. So in other words, Absalom is recognized as the king. And really, I want us to focus on how Absalom ascended to the throne and compare that to how David ascended to the throne. And it's quite different. But 2 Samuel 17, notice verse number 1. Moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night, and I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and I will make him afraid, and all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will smite the king only. And I will bring back all the people unto thee. The man whom thou seekest is as if all returned, so all the people shall be in peace. And the saying pleased Absalom well, and all the elders of Israel. Then said Absalom, call now Hushai the Archite also, and let us hear likewise what he saith. And when Hushai was come to Absalom, Absalom spake unto him, saying, Ahithophel hath spoken after this manner. Shall we do after this saying, his saying? If not, speak thou. And Hushai said unto Absalom, the counsel of Ahithophel hath given is not good at this time. For, said Hushai, thou knowest thy father and his men, that they be mighty men, and they be chaffed in their minds as a bear robbed of her whelps in the field. And thy father is a man of war, and will not lodge with the people. Behold, he is hid now in some pit or in some other place, and it will come to pass, when some of them be overthrown at the first, that whosoever heareth it will say, there is a slaughter among the people that follow Absalom. And he also that is valiant, whose heart is as the heart of a lion, shall utterly melt. For all Israel knoweth that thy father is a mighty man, and they which be with him are valiant men. Therefore I counsel that all Israel be generally gathered unto thee, from Dan even to Beersheba, as the sand that is by the sea for multitude, that thou go to battle in thine own person. So shall we come upon him in some place where he shall be found, and we will light upon him as the dew falleth on the ground, and of him and of all the men that are with him there shall not be left so much as one. Moreover, if he be gotten into a city, then shall all Israel bring ropes to that city, and we will draw it into the river until there be not one small stone found there. And Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the counsel of Hushai the Archite is better than the counsel of Ahithophel, for the Lord had appointed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring evil upon Absalom. The passage continues. Hushai, who was the friend of David, who was the second one to give the counsel, goes and tells the priests Zadok and Abiathar, and they in turn tell their sons, who in turn the sons go, and by the way, they're kind of caught, somebody sees them, they hide, they're able to get away, and to get the news to David. Now the Bible says in notice verse 21, and it came to pass after they were departed that they came up out of the well and went and told David, King David, and said unto David, arise and pass quickly over the water, for thus hath Ahithophel counseled against you. Then David arose and all the people that were with him, and they passed over Jordan. By the morning light there lacked not one of them that was not gone over Jordan. And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order, and hanged himself, and died, and was buried in the sepulcher of his father. And David came to Mahanaim, and Absalom passed over Jordan, he and all the men of Israel with him. And Absalom made Amasa captain of the host instead of Joab, which Amasa was a man's son, whose name was Ithrah, an Israelite, that went in to Abigail, the daughter of Nahash, sister of Zariah, Joab's mother. Now, if we go on and skip over to chapter number 18, we see that Absalom prepares for battle. David, in turn, prepares for battle, and we see that David has friends from different parts of the country that come and help him, bring him food and bring him different things, and obviously support, not only moral support, but also some of them military support. But we come to the place where the battle rages, and we kind of know what happened there in the story, and we'll talk a little bit more about that, depending on if we have time or not. But we know that Absalom comes, and the battle takes place in this forest. And Absalom is retreating, and he gets his head. Now, we refer to the hair, but the Bible doesn't say anything about hair. Now, we assume that because he had long hair, but his head gets caught in the thick of this thick forest. The Bible tells us that there's more people that die because of the forest than by the sword. So it was quite a perilous forest. And after that, obviously, Absalom dies. But I want you to see here how this story ends in verse number 17. 2 Samuel 18:17, and they took Absalom and cast him into a great pit in the wood and laid a great heap of stones upon him, and all Israel fled, everyone to his tent. But notice verse 18. Now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and reared up for himself a pillar, which is in the king's dale, for he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance, and he called the pillar after his own name. And it is called unto this day Absalom's place. I think it's interesting that this is how Absalom's life ends. This is a description that he erected a pillar of himself in his name for himself. Because the Bible says there was no lineage after him. But the verse before that tells us that he died under a pile of stones. You see, Absalom is the opposite of what David is in the fact of how they ascended to the throne. David, remember, he was a humble man. He did not force the issue. He, who at times had the opportunity to kill King Saul, he did not take that opportunity. He said, God is going to place me on the throne. And he waited on God, which communicates to us his submission to God, his submission to the will of God, and his humility. On the other hand, Absalom, who is consumed with himself, he's erecting a pillar for himself. He's taking the kingdom by force. Total opposites. So this evening, I wanted to think about David's ascension to the throne, but more particularly Absalom and his contrast to David. I want to preach on this thought this evening, from a pillar of self to a pile of stone. Because that's what Absalom's life is. From a pillar of self to a pile of stone. We're dealing this evening with the subject of pride. Pride. You know, Proverbs 16:18 tells us, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. That's what the Bible says. And we can take God at His word. Pride goeth before destruction. You see, Absalom thought he had it all together. His pride got him where he was, as he thought. And he ends up under a pile of stone because of his pride. And so I want to examine pride in the light of comparing Absalom to David, but particularly studying the life of the character of Absalom here. First of all, let's consider the deficiencies in pride. You know, pride is not good for life. It's not good. The Bible tells us in the book of James that God resisteth the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Two different things. He helps the humble advance, and He resists the prideful from advancing. Now, it seems, though, that sometimes that those that are prideful seem to advance anyways, but not for long. In other words, it doesn't last. Why? Because there are deficiencies in pride. There are some things that we see in the life of Absalom that wasn't present in the life of David in his ascension to the throne. Notice as we begin this passage, as we consider the deficiencies in pride, first of all, we see the first deficiency, it is revealed by a dearth of discernment. And the Bible tells us in verse number 4, and the saying pleased Absalom well and all the elders of Israel. Now, there's two counsels. Ahithophel, who by the way was Bathsheba's grandfather, who was a counselor to David, who was a traitor to the throne of David, now is counseling Absalom. Now, let me stop here and say this. The counsel of Ahithophel was better than the counsel of Hushai. Clearly. And we'll see that in just a moment. But Absalom hears this, hears the counsel of Ahithophel, and he is pleased by that counsel. And then he hears another counsel, he hears the counsel of Hushai, and he's pleased by that counsel. Let me stop and say this. The counsel brought about his death that he followed. Now, if we would study each one of those individually, we see Ahithophel, by summarizing his counsel from verse 1 to verse 3, if Ahithophel was, again, the traitor to David, he gives counsel to Absalom. Ahithophel wanted to be assigned 12,000 men to go and to find David. They only would kill David. Absalom approved, and the elders of Israel did as well approve of this counsel. But the thing that comes out to me in this passage is Ahithophel, who's just a counselor to the king. He says, I will arise and pursue after David this night. This is verse 1. Verse 2. And I will come upon him. Note at the end of verse 2. And I will smite the king only. And I will bring back all the people unto thee. The man whom thou seekest is, as if it all return, that all the people shall be in peace. Notice he wanted the assignment to be for him. Assign me 12,000 men, because I'm going to do this. And I. That's how Ahithophel came across. Now, Absalom loves this counsel. The elders of Israel love this counsel. But then he says, well, let me bring in Hushai. Now, this is the hand of the Lord. Taking care of his own. You see, when Absalom thinks he's got it all together, he's sitting there in the palace, he's sitting there all, can you see the picture here? All the elders of Israel are gathered together, and they're all rejoicing, and Absalom thinks, I'm in charge. And we all like this council. Think about all Israel. That means all those that were representatives of all the tribes were there, and they're all thinking about how to kill David, who was the rightful king. So Absalom thinks in his pride that he's got everything under control. But God is behind the scene doing something. So, you know what? Let me get Hushai. And Hushai, who is a friend of David, is going to give another counsel. Now, the counsel of Hushai is a little different. Hushai was, by the way, David's friend. He counseled against Ahithophel that Absalom delayed the attack. Said, don't go attack right now. And he gave them three reasons why not to attack. First of all, he said that David's men were vexed. In other words, he mentions the word bear and whelps. That word whelps mentions like the cubs of the bear. He says, it's as if you have robbed the cubs of a bear. They are furious. They right now is not the time to fight them. So he talked about how the men of Israel were vexed. They were valiant. He reminds them of that. Look, they're great men. It's not like these are the low lives who don't know how to fight. These are the best men of Israel. They're valiant men. But also, not only are they vexed, they're valiant, but he tells us they're vengeful. They want your blood because they've been kicked out because of you. So my counsel to you is don't go out now. He counseled Absalom to gather all of Israel personally under his rule and he said, Absalom, you need to go. Now, this was quite different. You see, Ahithophel said, assign me 12,000 men and I'll go tonight. And in the morning, the king will be dead. Hushai's counsel was wait. Because, you know, your dad is a mighty man and, you know, don't listen to Ahithophel. Listen to my counsel. Let me stop and say this. Anybody would listen to the counsel of Ahithophel. You say, why? Because David has just been kicked out. You see, anybody knows that when you have an opportunity presented to you, you take it right away. You don't wait. Especially an opportunity here for Absalom to remove the king permanently from being the king of Israel. There was a small opportunity, a window, but Hushai's counsel was, wait, that's not good because we know what kind of man David is. He's a great man of war. He has a reputation of taking just a few hundred men and defeating thousands of Philistines. That's his reputation. And so, for Hushai's counsel to say, wait, anybody with any military knowledge would have said, that is a mistake. You have a small opportunity right now when he is not organized, when he has a small group of men to come and attack him right now. Do it right away. instead of waiting and delaying. Now, to gather all the men, the Bible says, from all of Israel would have taken a lot of time. And you know what that time would mean for David? It would mean David would have a lot of time to prepare for Absalom to come and get him. So the counsel, obviously, that he heeded, and may I say this, that when someone is prideful, there are deficiencies manifest in a person's life, and they will be revealed in a dearth of discernment. You see, someone that's prideful only thinks of themselves. And so one thing that was different in the two councils was the fact that Ahithophel said, I'll go, I'll kill the king. And Hushai said, you know what? You lead the people. Because you're Absalom now. You're the king. Now, Hushai didn't want Absalom to be the king. But you see what he's doing? He's pumping him up. And he's unable to discern that, knowing that Hushai is David's friend. So we see that pride is revealed, the deficiencies of pride is revealed, first of all, in a dearth of discernment. But number two, it is revealed by a desire for display. In the council, notice verse number 11, the Bible says, therefore I counsel that all Israel be generally gathered unto thee, from Dan even to Beersheba, as the sand that is by the seashore for multitude, and that thou go to battle in thine own person. You see here, again, that was the difference between the council of Ahithophel and the council of Hushai. Hushai emphasizes, have all Israel come to you. And you, when you go to battle, you make sure that everybody sees that you're there. You make sure that you go there personally, Absalom. You see what that did? You see, when someone, a deficiency in pride, is revealed by a desire for display, someone that's prideful wants to be seen. Someone that's prideful wants everybody to know that they're full of themselves. Someone that's prideful wants to get everybody's attention. Someone that's prideful is not satisfied with somebody else getting the glory as Ahithophel would have, but he is satisfied with him and nobody else getting the glory for what he's doing. You see, someone that is prideful has a desire to be displayed before men and is not content to be put in the corner anywhere. And that's Absalom. You remember we studied last time that he would cut his hair once a year and then he would weigh it. And everybody was like, oh, wow, look at all that hair. That's the kind of man he was. But deficiencies are revealed. So we see, first of all, it is revealed by a dearth of discernment. It is revealed by a desire for display. Number three, it is revealed by a dishonorable deed. Those that are prideful do not do good things. They don't. Why? Because all they care about is themselves. Now, we're dealing here with Absalom and his own father. This is a relationship. Notice in verse 2, this was Ahithophel's counsel, and I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and I will make him afraid, and all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will smite the king only. Now, get this. He said that he would be smiting the king. And Absalom, a little verses later, said that he liked this counsel. Absalom liked the counsel of Ahithophel saying, and I'm going to kill your father. Later, when Hushai gives the counsel in verse number 11, we see that he gives the counsel that the king would be dead and everybody would be wiped out. And Absalom also loved this counsel. You see, this was not just about capturing David. This was about killing David, and it was a terrible deed. You know, Proverbs 13:10 tells us, only by pride cometh contention. Only by pride cometh contention. Where there is conflict, there is pride. Where there is hatred for somebody else, there is pride. Someone have said, and many commentators have commented, that any sin is rooted in pride. And perhaps this is true because that was Satan's sin. It was the sin of pride. You see where you find someone that any sin that you see in a person's life, whether it be anger or whether it be lust or whatever it is, it's rooted in pride. And Absalom was full of pride and therefore the deeds were dishonorable. What he is trying to do is not commendable here. David has been a good king, although there's been some failures in his life. He's been a wonderful king. He's brought peace to Israel. No other king had ever done that before. He's been a good governor. He's been a great leader. But here, they're conspiring for his death, and Absalom's all about it. You see, a deficiency in pride It reveals dishonorable deed. But we see number four, not only is it revealed by a dearth of discernment, by a desire for display, by a dishonorable deed, but also number four, it is revealed by a determination against deity. The Bible says, it tells us in verse 14, "And Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the counsel of Hushai the Archite is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. For the Lord had appointed to defeat the counsel of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring evil upon Absalom." Again, as I said earlier, that behind the scenes here, Absalom thinks he's got everything under control. He thinks, now I'm going to gather all the army of Israel, the whole nation, and we're going to go against my father, and we're going to defeat him. I'm going to follow the counsel of Hushai. But all this was done because God was in control. Absalom is going against God. He is going against God's anointed. Something that he ought to know in David's life that has been true, that David has never touched God's anointed, although he had the opportunity to do so. But see, Absalom is not satisfied with David kind of stepping aside. He wants to kill him. He wants to go against what it is, the plan of God. And really, this is pride does in its greatest form. It is determined to go against the will of God. Because pride says, I'm going to do it my way. It's going to be my way of thinking. It's going to be my life. It's what I want to do. And God is totally removed out of the picture. Well, may I say this, that when you fight against God, you lose every time. Nothing good comes out of it. Do we see here that these are the deficiencies of pride? Sometimes people say, oh man, I just didn't see that coming. A dearth of discernment. Well, that person is all about themselves. A desire for display. Pride. Look at the lifestyle, dishonorable deed. And what is it all boiled down to? It is a determination to prove that I can live without God and I can pave my way through this world without God. That's pride. That's Absalom. By the way, which is in total contrast with David and his ascension to the throne. I mean, he waited years and said, it is all in the hands of God. So we see the deficiencies of pride, but number two, we see the deception of pride. You see, Absalom here was deceived. The things that Hushai said were true, but the counsel that he gave Absalom was not the best thing for Absalom to do. To wait for David to be able to prepare. And so now there is an appearance, because now Absalom is mightier than ever. He has never been as powerful as he is at this moment. Why? Because every single tribe is sending their portion of soldiers to go and fight against the previous legitimate king, David. And so notice, as we consider the deception of pride, we see first of all the power of Absalom. Absalom trusted in three things. And by the way, this is pride does. Pride deceives itself because it places its trust in temporal things that are not reliable. First of all, he put his trust in population. Notice chapter 18, verse number 1. "And David numbered the people that were with him and set captains of thousands and captains of hundreds over them." Now, this is David's men. But we know that Absalom, if we would go back, we would find that Absalom was named, notice the nation of Israel was with Absalom. So we see here the term Israel. Israel means, think about it, that Absalom was trusting in the amount of people that he had. Israel means the army was very large. David, the Bible says, had thousands, according to verse 1, but significantly less than Absalom's thousands. We know the Bible tells us by the end of the story that over 20,000 men died. So that's a lot of men. So according to what we see here, Absalom, compared to David, had a whole lot more people than David had. And that's what Absalom was trusting in. You see, he was trusting in the population. He was trusting in the numbers that he had. Therefore, he was not afraid of being overpowered. He was not afraid of dying. Why? Because he trusted in numbers. Isn't that what the world says? It's the popular thing to do. Therefore, it is right. It is not we are not a democracy, we are a republic. We are a democratic republic. Right? Why? Because we are people of the law. In other words, if the majority of people one day said that murder is wrong, it's not going to be, if murder is right, it's not going to be right. It's always going to be wrong. You see, but society tries to change things, tries to change right marriage, redefine what a family is like, and redefine those things, and therefore we're trusting. Why? Because we have the majority of people. The majority of people doesn't make something right. You see, Absalom was trusting in the fact that all of the nation of Israel was with him, and David only had a few people, so then, therefore, he must be in the wrong place. You see, God then must have me to be the king, because everybody approves of me. Look, all the elders are behind me, and now every single tribe in Israel is sending soldiers after me to kill David. May I say he was deceived? Because we know how it ends. You see, the amount of people he had zero effect upon him winning. None whatsoever. Not only did he trust in population, but number two, the power of Absalom trusts in popularity. Now, I touched on this a little bit, but Israel also reveals that Absalom's revolt was popular. You see, now we know that during his revolt, he kind of deceived the people. Sometimes you find them, he goes on into this parade, and they go tell people here, go into this parade, and they were all marching down, and many of them had no idea what was going on. But by this time, everybody kind of recognizes that Absalom is the king, and so therefore Absalom's thought, he said, I'm popular. He's got the numbers, he's got the popularity, and notice we go read verse 25 of chapter 17. The Bible says here, and Absalom made Amasa captain of the host instead of Joab, which Amasa was a man's son whose name was Ithrah, an Israelite that went into Abigail, the daughter of Nahash, sister of Zariah, Joab's mother. So Israel and Absalom pitched in the land of Gilead. So Absalom was deceived. Why? Because of the power. He was deceived by his own power. He trusted in the population. He trusted in popularity. He also trusted in promotion. He said, you know what? I'll replace Joab with Amasa. Well, Amasa doesn't really seems like have any experience that we know of like Joab did. But yet he's going to place him as if to say, well, look, just because I place someone, everybody's going to be fine. Do you see what's going on here? The young, unwise, unexperienced Absalom appoints the young, unwise, unexperienced young man Amasa. And on the other side, you have David and Joab, who have an unblemished reputation when it comes to war. And you're going to go against them. You see, they trusted in their power, their popularity, the promotion, and they thought, we got this in the bag. That's the deception of pride. You see, pride deceives itself to think, I'm okay. You see, it's not enough to say, I'm not going to go the way of God. It's another thing to say, you know what, I'm better than God. I can produce something better than what the people of God can. You see, I don't need God, I can do better. The deception of pride, the power of Absalom, but not only see the power of Absalom, we see the power of David. So what pride trusts in, what does David trust in? Well, we see several things. May I say that it does not trust in population, in popularity, or promotion, but rather finds complete confidence in the Lord. Now, something interesting happens in this passage we see in verse 27. And it came to pass, when David was come to Mahanaim, that Shobai, the son of Nahash, of Rabbah, of the children of Ammon. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Who? The Ammonites! Yes, that's right, the Ammonites. Are bringing. They're coming, the Bible says, keep reading, and Micah, the son of Emil of Lodabar, and Barzillai, the Gileadite of Rogelim, brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched pulse and honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kind for David and for the people that were with him to eat. For they said, the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. You see, when Absalom is trusting in number and popularity and promotion, David was over here trusting in the provisions of God. That's what's happening here. He's got, now,
The last time they had interaction with the Ammonites, it was not good. You remember how that went? We'll talk a little bit about it. But now they're coming and they're bringing some basic necessities that they need to survive. Isn't that what God said He would do to His children? That He would give us exactly what we need? Take no thought for tomorrow, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, or what you shall put on. What are we to seek? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all those things that you think about on a daily basis shall be added unto you. God is going to take care of His children. And that's exactly what God does here. And so look, Absalom is trusting in his power, popularity, and the population. But David is trusting in the provision of God. And God always comes through. Not only we see the provision, but we see the personnel. Think about these people that came. Think about this. This was the brother of the one that had mistreated the servants of David back in 2 Samuel chapter 10, verse 2. You remember that? The Ammonite king had died and he wanted to show kindness, and so he sent his servants over there to meet the brother of Shobai, and we saw that he ridiculed him. He shaved part of their beards off and he cut their garments so they were exposed. This is the brother. The brother of the Ammonites, of the king, that mistreated the servants of David, he comes to help to David. We also have Micah. Now, Macher, notice he, if you remember, he is the one that David appointed to be Mephibosheth's caretaker. You remember Mephibosheth, who was the last one out of Saul's house. He goes, hey, look, find anybody out of Saul's house, and they find Mephibosheth. And so David appoints Macher to take care of Mephibosheth and of his land and of his house and all those things. And they come to David's aid. You see, they were returning favor for a favor. Kindness in David's past years on now ago are bearing fruit. You see, remember we look at, he showed kindness, the kindness of the Lord to Mephibosheth. Then he showed the kindness of the Lord to the Ammonites. It was not received well. But down the road, he sure did reap the benefits of showing that kindness. Because now in his time of need, what did he do? God comes in. Remember what the Bible says? He wanted to show them the kindness of God. You see, he wanted to show them a little bit of what the love of God is about. And in doing that, now years down the road, when he is in need, God says, I'm going to repay that because you displayed my kindness towards people. Therefore, I'm going to use them, these same people that you want to show kindness, and they're going to be kind to you. And here it is, all this provision, all that you need for survival. The last one is Barzillai. Now, this man is unknown up to this point. We just know that he's an aged man. That's it. We're going to see him a little later in the Bible, but he was a mature man that was in the shadows. We don't know nothing about him. But yet this old man who is mentioned here by name, he knows who he's supposed to support. You see, we've already established the fact as David went away, who is it that came after him and wanted to help him? The spiritual people. The people that were part of the temple worship. Those that were the godly men came after David to be a help to him. Remember, they brought the ark. And David says, look, bring that back. Don't bring that. Let's not use God as a little toy or a tool, as a good luck charm. He sent them back. But here you have mature people. And here you have Absalom, the young guy, who knows absolutely nothing about leadership, who comes in and tries to put havoc throughout the kingdom, overthrow the king, kill David. And here you have on the other side these people whom David has shown kindness through throughout his life, and this aged old man that nobody knows, and they come to help David. You see, God takes care. That's the power with David. You see, pride is self-deceiving, thinking the powers are in the material things, in the population and the popularity and the promotion. But David said, you know what? I'm going to rely on God. God is going to provide me. God is going to bring people in my life, the personnel that's going to help me. And also think about the place that God provided for him. And we're going to see here in the battle that David was able to find a place where there was basically a castle with walls that could be protected. And so he was in a great location. What I'm trying to say is that God took care of him. Why? Because he was a humble man. Unlike Absalom. Trusted in all the wrong things, but David was trusting in the right thing. Psalm 3, by the way, is written when David was running away from... Let's look at that. From Absalom. Psalm
It was Psalm chapter number 3. This is what David wrote. The Bible says, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom his son. Lord, how are the increase that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. You see, that's what Absalom said. There's no hope for David in God. I've got the numbers. I've got the popularity. I made my promotion. And we're ready to go to oppose him. That's what they say. But Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine hand. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard me out of my holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I awake, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of them thousands of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for Thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon Thy people. You see, that is what David was trusting in. He was trusting in God. And pride is the opposite. Pride trusts in self. But humility trusts in God. So we not only see the deficiencies in pride, the deception of pride, but number three, we see the devastation of pride. That reminds you that Proverbs 16:18 says that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. What happened to Absalom was devastating. When we look at this passage, several things happen, and I'll kind of sum things up here. But the Bible says that the battle was scattered throughout all the land. Now they were in Gilead. It was scattered throughout the entire land. David, what happened, he appointed three leaders over the thousands that he had. One of them was Joab, one of them was Joab's brother, and there was another man that were appointed, and he divided his army into three groups. While Absalom had one group who went right, and so basically through this division, what happened is the people of Absalom, the Israelites, were scattered. You know, that word is used for them for when something is scattered, something is defeated. You see, we see the division. The army was divided. They were also defeated, and then Absalom himself died. But notice what happened in verse 9. And Absalom met the servants of David. And Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between the heaven and the earth, and the mule that was under him went away. And a certain man saw it and told Joab and said, Behold, I saw Absalom hanged in an oak. And Joab said unto the man that told him, And behold, thou sawest him, and why didst thou not smite him there to the ground? And I would have given thee 10 shekels of silver and a girdle. And the man said unto Joab, Though I should receive 1,000 shekels of silver in mine hand, yet would I not put forth mine hand against the king's son. For in our hearing the king charge thee, and Abishai, and Ittai, saying, Beware that none touch the young man Absalom. Otherwise I should have wrought falsehood against mine own life. For there is no matter hid from the king, and thou thyself wouldest have set thyself against me. Then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. And he took 3 darts in his hand, and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. And 10 young men that bare Joab's armor compassed about and smote Absalom and slew him. You see what happens? Sometimes we have the expression that Joab took 3 darts and put it through his heart, but the heart refers to the midsection. It went through his stomach. 3 darts in his stomach. In other words, he was still alive. And then he unleashed 10 men upon Absalom, and they killed him. That's what happened. Bloody scene. A bloody scene. That's not pleasant. May I say that that's how pride ends? For Absalom. The Bible tells us in verse 16, And Joab blew the trumpet, and the people returned from pursuing after Israel. For Joab held back the people, and they took Absalom and cast him into a great pit in the wood, and laid a very great heap of stones upon him. And all Israel fled, every one to his tent. Everybody's gone. You see the population, the numbers that Absalom trusted in, the popularity that he had, the population is gone. The popularity is not there anymore. He's dead. And the promotion
Where's Amasa? Where's his captain who's leading the people? He's not there. Absalom is sitting there alone. He's died. And then they throw a big heap of stones upon him. And that's how he ends. Everything that he trusted in is now gone. And that's what pride does. It's gone. Pride deceives itself in thinking, I have the power, I have the numbers, I have all that. But in the time of need, there's nothing there. There's no one for him. There's nobody helping him. Everybody's deserted him. But you see how David ascended to the throne? He was a humble man that trusted God, waited on God, patiently on God. And then he got to the place when he was in need. You see what God did? He manifested forth His grace towards the humble. And He resisted the proud. And the Bible just tells us in verse 18, now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and reared up for himself a pillar. Do you see here? This is the summation of Absalom's life. In his life, he reared himself a pillar. Because he had no children after him to continue his name. And so therefore he named that pillar of himself Absalom. You see what God says? That's his life. That's his life. That's pride. You got a pillar. But we just saw that he's sitting under a pile of stone. Matthew Henry wrote, he says, now they smarted justly for their treason against their lawful prince, David. Their uneasiness under such a good government and their base ingratitude to such a good governor, and they found what it was to take up arms for a usurper who with his kisses and caresses had wheedled them into their own ruin. Now, where are the rewards, the preferments, the golden days they promised themselves from him? Where is what Absalom perhaps had promised him, remember, as he was standing at the gate? It's not there. It's not there. Pride is the, and we'll see that this Sunday, is the sin of the devil. This is how it all started. Pride. It boils down to this. From a pillar of self to a pile of stone. Pride erects a pillar unto himself, but truly ends in a pile of stone, left alone in a wooded area where nobody cares. While the King David will be restored to the throne. This didn't have to be dealt with. But God in this passage shows us a contrast between a man who lived a humble life. He was not perfect. There was sin in David's life. And we dealt with that. But God restored him. Why? Because of his humility. On the other hand, a man that tried to do things himself apart from God, trusting in everything out except God, ends up under a pile of stone. May the Lord help us to understand that pride doesn't help in our lives. It doesn't. It's destructive. It's devastating. And many people have fallen under this deception of trusting in oneself and forgetting all about God. May the Lord help us to not erect a pillar of self and end up in a pile of stone. God says, He resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Does that sort of help us?